What a pleasure it is for Ann and I to be back among you today and next week. And I hope you're not, I'm going to read the text in a different translation, the ESV, because it gives a little bit more of a clear meaning of what we're going to be preaching on this morning. But it's the same word, so. But let me read from the ESV. It starts out the same way. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. You'll see why as we get along in the message this morning, I hope, why I read this version, because it gives more clearly the message that we want to communicate this morning, that God wants to communicate to us through His Word. Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied in a time of spiritual decline. He preached to a people over which the judgment of God loomed like a dark cloud. The northern kingdom, Israel, had already been taken into captivity, and the southern kingdom, Judah, was soon to follow. The Assyrians were invading the land, and except for a mini revival during the time of Hezekiah, the spiritual condition of the covenant people of God was discouraging, to say the least. The nation was turning away from God and sliding downhill faster and faster and faster. And God's judgment was imminent. It was a time to try men's souls, especially those who wanted to be faithful to God. In the midst of the spiritual decline and growing hopelessness, Isaiah brings a message of hope to God's languishing people in the words of our text this morning. It is God's promise to us, to the church. That He is going to restore and bless His people. A promise to multiply believers and to build His church. This is why He says to them, enlarge the place of your tent. Make more room to the right and on the left, for I'm getting ready to bring the nations into the church, into my church. Isaiah's message is a message for the church of Jesus Christ today, beloved. It's a message that you and I need to hear and to believe and to pray that God fulfills. That message is this: press on, beloved, for there is yet much to be done. The fields are white unto harvest, and I have yet many of my elect to bring into the family. Gird up your loins, run the race with confidence and assurance, for the victory is yours if you will only trust me. I don't know about you, beloved, but Isaiah's words speak directly to my own heart. I hope that they also strike a chord in yours. The reason being that you and I live in a time of spiritual declension ourselves, a time that is very discouraging and even depressing. The church seems to be losing ground on every hand, on every side. The enemy seems to have the upper hand. We're losing heart and our courage seems to be failing. This is why we need to hear what God is saying to us through his servant Isaiah. In a nutshell, here's the message. Open up your eyes, beloved. I still am in charge. I'm still sitting on my throne, and my intention is to bless you, to use you, to bring the nations into the kingdom. Get up on your feet, take up your weapons, and launch yourselves out into the battle. I am with you, and I will give you the victory. What Isaiah is saying to us, and he was writing 700 years before the time of Jesus Christ. He was writing about a day of prosperity that is coming to the church, a day of victory and triumph. But perhaps you say to me, well, when? When, preacher? When's that going to happen? Hundreds of years from now, at the end of time? When? And how is it going to happen? That's what we want to talk about this morning in our message. Let's try to answer these questions by considering three promises that God gives us in our text this morning. The first, you shall expand to the left and to the right. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to you and me today, sitting in this church in Seekonk, Massachusetts. He's talking to the discouraged and disheartened church. He's talking to you and me. The people of Isaiah's day could not have been more discouraged. They were just before being taken into captivity. We're not in that condition yet, but he's talking to us. Well, why does he say to enlarge the tent? Why does he say enlarge the tent? Well, the evident reason is in order to make room for the multitudes God will bring into his church. And in case you want to know this, if you don't already have not already heard, God is bringing multitudes into the church in other parts of the world today, in Africa, in South America, in the land of China. Nobody today knows how many Christians there are in China, but there are at least a tenth of the population of the land of China has become Christian. There are whole provinces. There's at least one province in China that has so many Christians in it that they tell the government to leave them alone, and the government listens. They don't bother them. There's no need. The image here, then, is one of pushing out the walls of the tent in order to make room for the new members that are being born into the family. It's like adding a new room onto the house when triplets are born and you are only expecting one, back in before the days when we know exactly how many are coming and so forth and so on. Back when we were having babies, we didn't know always. But the question that we want to answer here, how are we going to accomplish this? How is the church going to accomplish this? by doing four things. It's not complicated. First of all, by giving to support God's work, His tithes and our offerings, faith promise, whatever. Secondly, by praying, always praying. In Matthew 9, 36 to 38, Jesus tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but that the laborers are few. And He commands us to pray for more laborers to thrust into the harvest fields, because there's an abundant harvest yet to bring in. Thirdly, by going or sending people into the mission field to bring in the harvest, to bring in the harvest. And fourthly, by maintaining a faithful and effective witness at home, keeping the home fires burning. These four things need to be going all the time. We need to be involved, thoroughly involved, in the work of the church. Giving, praying, going, maintaining our own testimony. Beloved, the mission of the church is still the same that when Jesus gave the great commandment, the great commission. It hasn't changed. This is still our responsibility to make disciples of all the nations and to teach them all that Jesus has commanded us to do. Well, secondly, Isaiah says in his text here, he says, your descendants will inherit the nations. We don't talk about that very much today in the church, but the Bible says one day that the earth will be entirely ours. That means when that day comes, that there will only be Christians left, only those who love the Lord. Everybody else will be gone. The earth will be the Lord's and all that is therein. You see, beloved, the goal of God's goal is that the church will eventually invest and possess the entire world. When will this happen? When four things are true of the church. First of all, she's humble. Secondly, she's praying. Thirdly, she's truly seeking God. And fourthly, she's turning away from sin. If you don't believe me, look up 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's a verse of Scripture I would recommend that you learn by heart. That's it says simply this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and will pray and will seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will answer their prayers. So we need to develop these things in our own lives, and we need to be praying that God would develop these things in the lives of the life of the church, that He would make us humble and praying, that He would teach us to truly seek Him and to truly turn away from sin. I can hear some of you saying, even if you're not saying it out loud, I've said it myself, well, that's a tall order, isn't it? Yes, but that's God's order. And that's what God is doing. Your descendants here means your children that you have reared in the faith. It means those whom we are discipling. It means those whom we have witnessed to. It means those whom we are teaching, discipling. We can see here, as you've heard me mention before in this pulpit, the importance of the Christian home, of Christian parents who teach their children, who discipline their children, who rear up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, who train them up as disciples of Jesus Christ. So your descendants here not only means our own children, but it means disciples that we have trained for Jesus Christ. It means spiritual children that you and I have brought to Christ, disciplined in Christ, and helped to grow into mature Christians, ready to face the world, the flesh, and the devil. And also we have taught to disciple others. This means, beloved, that the work of discipling never comes to an end. The work of the life work of our being a discipler never stops as long as we are alive. God gives each and every Christian opportunities to witness to their neighbors, to their friends, to the people they work with, to members of the family. He gives us all these opportunities. And that is the way the church is built, is grown. That is the way that the church is eventually going to take over the world. This means, beloved, that the church needs to be continually reaching out to win others to Christ and to be producing new disciples who will reproduce themselves for the generation to come. It's just logical. If families don't have babies and train those children so that they can produce and train the next generation, then that family, those families will die out and become extinct. The same thing is true of the church. If she doesn't reproduce and train up disciples, she will eventually die and disappear. And beloved, believe you me, that's what the devil wants. That's what the devil is encouraging, or would try to encourage each and every one of us to do nothing. He will just love to take over and drive morality and Christianity out of society, out of our lives. And this is largely what is happening in our country today, beloved. We need to get back to personal evangelism, individual piety, serious praying, and a godly hatred and repudiation of sin. And hear me well when I say this. This world is not our home. And worldly possessions and comforts are not our goal in life. This has become the biggest downfall or the biggest temptation in our own country today, beloved. To keep the church from growing, to keep us from doing what we should be doing. This world is not our home. Our home and our true possessions are in heaven, and our goal is to please Jesus Christ in all things. Our lives are meant to show forth His glory and to attract others to Him. The third thing that our text promises to us, Isaiah says, And he's speaking for God. Your descendants will inhabit, restore, and live in the desolate cities. In other words, the day is coming when the church is going to take over the world. When sin is going to be gone, the new heavens and the new earth are promised. For your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Your offspring, of course, means our spiritual offspring, our spiritual children, those who have been used to win Christ, those we have been used to win to Christ and to disciple so that they can lead others to Christ. And where the church is really doing its job in the world today, this is what's happening. This has happened more than once in our country before. We've had the first Great Awakening. We had the second Great Awakening. We need another Great Awakening in our country today, beloved, to bring us back to the foundational truths upon which our country was built. We see the struggles on the front page, on the television, going on today. We need to be praying and working that more and more God's people, you and I, will be reaching out and will be touching the lives of other people. That more and more the Church of Jesus Christ here in our country will be living as God intended for us to live. God wants us to be more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. And we can be, as we pray for one another, as we work together, as we encourage one another. And I want to encourage you here in this church, because you're such an influence right here where you are. It's a joy for Ann and I to be here with you when we come to sing the songs of Zion with you, to worship together, to pray together, to have a sense of being at home. We have the most wonderful good news in the world to share with others. Let us ask that God would help us to do that more effectively, to draw others into the life of our church, and to hasten the day when the promises that God gave to us through Isaiah will become a reality for us, for our world. Let us pray. Father, we're perplexed and we're discouraged when we look at texts like this, and yet we're also encouraged because we know that you're the God who reigns, who is sovereign, who elects, who saves, who transforms cultures. You've transformed our culture in our country more than once before in the past. And we ask you to do the same again, Lord. We ask you to add to our numbers, to bring more and more young people and older people and children into the faith, that you would get your people once again excited about Jesus Christ and about the opportunity, the responsibility, but also the possibility of seeing the fulfillment of these promises that we're looking at today. Because your people are fired up, because your people are obedient, because your people are believing your promises and are stepping forward on the front lines as soldiers for Jesus Christ. Get your church ready in our country, Father, to suffer under persecution, to do whatever needs to be done in order to get the job done. Bless and encourage our brothers and sisters around the world who, many of them, are living in difficult places, and yet they're seeing you bring multitudes of people to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In China, in Africa, in South America, in many other places. Oh, our Father, hasten the day when these promises will be fulfilled. And help us to see the role that we can play as we pray, as we make disciples, as we obey your voice. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.